Hello, this is the podcast for our class number 25 and on November 22nd. And in this class, we pretty much finished up all of the material except for in our intentional torts that we'll spend the next three classes on. And in talking about trespass and nuisance, I hope you notice that there are elements of intent here. It's not all that there was, that you can distinguish them that much. In trespass and nuisance, because they are classes, because they are subjects that deal with property ownership rights, interference with your ownership rights. They are traditionally held to be strict. Strict just means it's not characterized by negligence. But there are elements of intent there too. So, for example, with trespass, trespass really evolved from Rylance v. Fletcher, our first case talking about whether these particles that have invaded your property, whether they're a trespass. That's Rylance v. Fletcher doing, it's okay to run an aluminum plant on your property, but when you do so, and in doing so, no matter how safely you're doing it, and it's totally unintentional, it harms, something goes over onto the neighbor's property, the liability is strict. Why this isn't strict liability instead of trespass is strict liability needs some kind of damage. Trespass does not. Because in trespass, the interference with your possessory right is the trespass. The entry onto your property that interferes with your possessory rights, that's the harm. So the damages can be negligible on that. Remember, we talked about the case with the neighborhood fight, and one neighbor goes over to the other neighbor's property and has the trees cut down. Well, the judge says, yeah, it is. There was a trespass there, definitely. But the damage was negligible. They were going to cut down those trees anyway. So $100. Oh, let's be generous, make it $300. The point about these kinds of torts, trespass and nuisance, is that they don't need any more than nominal damages, because the trespass is the injury. The nuisance is the injury. The trespass meaning the entry onto somebody's property that interferes with their possessory rights. Just the entry itself is the damage. So again, possessory rights go up and they go down, not indefinitely, but above the ground and below the ground, and it requires some kind of entry. So our case here talks about, are these little minute particles enough of an entry? The court decides yes. Other courts would have decided no. The point is that there has to be something tangible, even though it might be negligible. And these particles are considered tangible. Remember, I said these are elements of strict liability, Rylance v. Fletcher, even though they don't need real damages, and strict liability certainly needs a harm. They also have elements of intent. The entry has to be intentional, not accidental, not meaning somebody while you were sleeping picked you up and dumped you over to the property. The intent doesn't have to be to harm. The intent just has to be to enter. So you're wandering around, you think it's your own property, you go over, it's the neighbor's, no entry, no harm, but you definitely intentionally entered. You wandered around, you think it's national parkland, it turns out to be privately owned, you intended to enter. again, you don't have to intend to trespass. You have to just intend the entry is the intent. Nuisance, same thing. You don't have to intend to interfere with someone's use and enjoyment of their land. You just have to intend that the action take place, that whatever you're doing, whether it's emitting the smoke or whether it's emitting the sounds or constructing the halfway house next door to a residential property, whatever happens, it's you're intending this to go on. You're, and generally, nuisance is much more of an economic tort. You're committing this act is injuring your neighbor, either diminishing their property value. The injury diminishing their use and enjoyment of their land, or if it's in inconsistent land uses, you and your neighbor are have businesses that are just inconsistent with each other, and this happens a lot in developing neighborhoods. You go down to a neighborhood because it's quiet, but because there aren't very many other neighbors around, somebody moves a rock club next to you. You're there because the rents are low, but it turns into a trendy neighborhood, and suddenly you're in a fancy schmancy Tribeca loft, but there's a butter and egg factory next to you that has trucks going day and night. So inconsistent uses of property, and this is where it gets interesting. Can you stop somebody else from using their property? Can you stop somebody else from using their property when it's really, then it harms them too? So inconsistent uses of property. These are economic torts, and they have problems with both ways. So again, these kinds of the nuisance, the big question is who wins? And the restatements there have talked about looking at the utility of the conduct, who has to leave. The value of the utility of the conduct versus the appropriateness, the amount of harm that it causes. Can you get an injunction? Our Boomer case says before there was, in New York would say under Whalen, even $100 worth of harm, you could get an injunction against a plant that means it has to stop, a plant that hires hundreds of people. Boomer says, no, let's be sensible about this. We're going to look at the utility of this plant and see whether they can continue operating as long as they pay you, your damages. It's like a fee to pollute, As long as you continue operating, can you do this? And that's a very utilitarian way to settle this as opposed to making them shut down entirely. It's just keep going on, pay your fee. Buy off the neighbor. Either they're going to sell off and leave, take the money and leave, or they're going to stay there and you can continue on with your nuisance. What's the value in this? The plant keeps operating. What's the problem? The pollution continues. So you've bought off this one neighbor, but you haven't solved anything. And the Boomer case said, we're just one court. We can't solve pollution. We're just one court. So these trespass and nuisance have, again, economic torts at its ultimate, especially with nuisance, look to see the utility of the conduct before trying to get any sort of injunctive relief. Again, it's not so much the damages, it's just they want the trespass or the nuisance to stop, because that's the harm. The trespass and the nuisance themselves are the harm. Okay, so next class we're going to start with intentional torts and the meaning of intent. Remember, intent is not criminal intent, it's tort intent is purpose or substantial certainty that the harm will occur. So that's where we're going to start, purpose or substantial certainty.